Transitioning from steam gauges to glass cockpits, what are the safety issues? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature. My guest today is Bruce Landsberg, who is the executive director of AOPA's Air Safety Foundation. And we're here to talk about an event that's going on today in Bedford, Massachusetts. And Bruce, thanks very much for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure, Paul.
Tell us a little bit about the 2008 crash course. I hope that that was chosen tongue-in-cheek. But anyway, there's a presentation going on in Massachusetts today that is designed to orient pilots used to traditional steam gauges to the new glass cockpits and technologically advanced aircraft.
Well, that is correct, Paul. I've been talking to the Aero Club of New England for well over a decade now, and I keep asking them if they really want to change the name of this early in the flying season program, but I have not been able to prevail so far, and apparently it's working because we have a lot of pilots coming out to visit, and it's one of my favorite programs. The crowd is enthusiastic. I guess it's all that pent-up demand and the cold New England winters that get them out, and they are enthusiastic about safety up there.
Well, and this has been going on. This is the 17th annual, so How has AOPA's involvement been in this event over the years, and what is the overall focus of the event?
Well, the overall focus of the event is to learn from other people's mistakes and go into the flying season with the right safety attitude. And I've personally been involved with Crash Course now for 16. This will be my 16th year with it. So every year that I've been with AOPA and the Air Safety Foundation, they've invited me back. So something must be working.
You know, there's a question, Bruce. We haven't talked before today directly one-to-one, and there's something I wanted to ask you because I know this has to come up in your work as well as some of the things we do at Aero News. And that is that I recall back before I ever started to fly, and I've only been flying for a few years, I spent probably 6 to 8 months before I ever even went to ground school looking over the daily NTSB accident reports, because I wanted to understand what it is that causes accidents. And even the accidents that are not attributed to human nature or pilot error, if you trace them back far enough, really are. It's either a pilot error or a maintenance error, or, I mean, there's almost always a human cause at the root of this. And I think I think by studying these things, we can make ourselves safer. But I had some friends who told me they thought that was kind of a morbid approach to things. How do you find that argument?
Well, I've heard that comment before, and I do a monthly column in the AOPA Pilot magazine, which is called, appropriately enough, Safety Pilot. And about four times a year, we do what we call landmark accidents. And, you know, if people are uneasy about looking at accidents and so forth, I would say this is a time-honored approach that's used in many different areas. Harvard Business School initiated the concept of case studies.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing more than a case study. And if you learn as much as you can from the accidents, then you can go forward. And you can take a very clinical approach to it if you want, which is fine. That sort of helps you to deal with the tragedy. I think it's good, though, not to forget that what we're dealing with really is a tragedy both for the individuals and their families, but for the industry as a whole, and it's very important that we learn from those mistakes.
I know that anyone who is involved with Internet forums on a regular basis knows this effect, and that is that there will be an accident somewhere, and there's an immediate sort of craving on the part of other pilots to know or to kind of analyze what went wrong. And then there will always be a poster who pops up on the forums who says, you know, guys, this is way premature. Wait for the NTSB report to come out. Consider that the families might be reading this, et cetera. All those arguments. Do you think it's a, I mean, how would you address that? I mean, do you come down on one side or the other of that in terms of whether we should dive right in and try to look for these things? Because frankly, when an incident like this has just occurred is the time when it's most likely to get the closest attention.
Well, I think there's a balance point in all of this on the instant desire to know, and that's human nature. I think the reality is, and I've been as wrong as often as I've been right in sort of guessing some of these things. And so our position generally will be if there's been a bad accident somewhere, and in some cases it'll be a very newsworthy situation, we'll approach it very cautiously and say we're not taking a position on what happened in this specific case. However, we can comment about accidents that may have occurred before that may be similar to this one without commenting on this particular one. So I think you're dealing with the human nature of wanting to have immediate analysis of what went wrong, and of course with today's news cycle, that's where everybody is. But the reality is that these things are sometimes very complicated, and you will find some interesting twists and turns along the way as you go. Sometimes you know exactly what happened, and anybody could pretty well identify what happened right in the first 5 minutes, but we think it's appropriate to wait just a little until there's more detail. On preliminary reports, sometimes you don't get very much on it, and by the time you get to the factual report, even before the board has commented, the NTSB, then you've got some pretty good information as to what transpired.
One of the things I've noticed is that when an accident occurs that could have more than one possible cause, and the discussions, you know, among pilots ensue, I sometimes think we get more value out of those discussions when we don't know than we do after it's narrowed down to a specific cause and channel of discussion, because in a lot of cases, it makes people discuss and think about things, you know, more deeply that they would dismiss after the report came out because it was known not to have been the cause.
Well, I think there's a balance point, and if people want to get a safety message on a regular basis, our website, and I'll make an unabashed plug here at www.asf.org, is just chock full of all kinds of information, including accident reports. You can sort by various make and model. You can sort by location. You can sort by probable cause. So you can get right in there, and even if the latest accident that just happened 2 days ago isn't in, if you want to take a look and see exactly how something transpired or how it fits into the overall context, because I think that is important. Individual accidents may not be as instructive as a broader view. You can see a lot better from 30,000 feet than you can from 2 feet off the deck.
I appreciate that completely. Talking today with Bruce Landsberg, who's the executive director of AOPA's Air Safety Foundation. And Bruce, when we come back from our break, I want to talk a little bit more specifically about the Aero Club of New England and the events or the issues that will be discussed in particular at this event going on today.
Very good.
I'm Paul Platt. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Bruce Landsberg, Executive Director of AOPA's Air Safety Foundation. We're talking about an event that Bruce is going to be speaking at today, and that is the Aero Club of New England's annual crash course. And this year it's on glass cockpit aircraft. Bruce, I have to ask you, first of all, we've seen these glass cockpits just explode on the scene, and one of the things I think that is notable in the news in the past couple of days is the announcement that Aspen Avionics now has received its TSO for the Evolution line, which is going to be a very popular retrofit of glass cockpit capability into traditional aircraft panels that have had steam gauges up till now. I guess with this as a backdrop, has the Air Safety Foundation identified this transition for pilots from steam gauges to glass as a potential safety problem area?
Well, we've seen a number of interesting things here. You've got basic, if you want to divide it up, you've got two kinds of aircraft that are in glass. You have the new technology airplanes, such as the Cessna 350 and 400 and the Cirrus and the Diamond line of aircraft. And then you have what we'll call classic glass or legacy airplanes, which are Mooney, Bonanza, the Cessna line of airplanes that are, you know, old designs. With glass coming from the factory that way. The big thing that's interesting here, I think, is the new avionics can improve your situational awareness. They improve system redundancy, and they'll give us information about weather, airspace, and terrain. But it's very important for pilots to understand that on those last three items, it doesn't change the nature. The weather stays the same, the mm-hmm. airspace is still there, and the terrain most certainly is still there.
Right.
And we keep occasionally seeing incidents, including one here that just occurred this weekend locally here in the D.C. area, of pilots attempting to move mountains with these airplanes, and I haven't seen that work too successfully yet.
No, I can appreciate that completely. One of the things that I hear a lot of pilots who have been at this a while talk about as a possible problem area is that we may get too dependent on the capabilities of the glass and not be able to quickly and effectively fall back on the steam gauge backups that are in these aircraft.
Well, we haven't seen a lot of problems in that area. The hardware itself is reasonably robust. I think it's still a little early in the game to determine exactly how well the redundancy works, but my general sense is that it's better than what it used to be in the old days. I mean, we used to launch off with just one single vacuum pump and maybe one or two navcoms. We're doing much better than that now, and the airplanes themselves are very reliable. So it comes back once again to the software that's running it, which is us. And I'll tell you one thing that we're not seeing, which has been a huge point of concern for pilots, and that is IFR accidents on approach due to technology. In other words, being overwhelmed mm-hmm. On an IFR approach and not being able to get the box to perform. We have seen maybe one or two cases where that might have been the cause. But pilots are being pretty careful about getting into that circumstance. There's plenty to learn. I think the instructional process is getting gradually better. I'd like to see better simulation out there. And I would say one of the worst things that you could do in transition is to get out there with an overenthusiastic instructor who says, well, let's go fly the airplane right off, before you have at least a basic knowledge of how the avionics work, because that's going to be your interface with the airplane.
Well, to be fair, one of the great advantages, I think, of the glass cockpit equipment is that you can very, very accurately simulate it on a computer screen, even a home computer. I mean, there are courses available to help you get your feet wet in the technology and not have to learn how to read the instruments once you're off the ground.
We couldn't agree more that's beneficial, and I'd like to see that simulation continue. I'd like to see it go beyond just mouse and keyboard, though, and into something a little more robust. And I think the simulator manufacturers are catching up to that.
I think in particular, noticing what Eclipse Aviation has done to get people ready to fly the 500, they have a very, very polished and complete approach to simulation. And I think it's probably going to be commonplace among any of the bigger manufacturers of these airplanes with this capability in the future.
Well, I would say anytime you put the word jet on it, then that makes a difference. The distinction between jet airplanes with type ratings and airplanes with pistons it makes it a little tougher in terms of kind of catching up to the economics, if you will, of simulation. So I think we've got good things to look forward to. The big thing that pilots have to understand is the basics of flying are still the same. And no matter how much technology you wedge into a cockpit, and the airlines have learned this the hard way, and business jets as well, you still have to have some of that pilot stuff going for you to make sure that things work out properly.
All right. Well, give us, if you will, just a little brief tease. The event itself is at 6 p.m. tonight at the Newton Marriott Hotel. There will be a social hour and an aviation trade show, and it all kicks off at 6 p.m. tonight. Give us just a little brief idea of what your talk is going to be addressing tonight.
Well, we're going to do some comparisons between the fleet of existing aircraft and the new glass cockpit aircraft. We actually did a study on this from 2003 through 2006, so we'll be talking about the statistics. We'll be comparing what I like to call the physical airplane and the mental airplane and some of the judgment decision-making aspects on it. We're going to get into quite a discussion on weather, and I'll also say that this coming up month, April, is Thunderstorm Awareness Month here at the AOPA Air Safety Foundation, and we're going to be spending quite a bit of time on that, talking about thunderstorms, and we'll talk a little bit about data link and a lot of the goodies that people have on these TAA aircraft that they may not be quite comfortable with. And my co-presenter, I don't know if you knew this, is going to be Bill King from Cirrus Aircraft.
Right.
And so Bill and I have a little section where we're going to talk about Cirrus as well and some of the situations that they've been faced with.
Well, and I know that he will have an interesting perspective on what we just mentioned about the transition or that borderline between piston planes and jets, because both Cirrus and Diamond have made it clear that their goals are to provide an intuitive upgrade path for their customer base from their high-end, technically advanced piston aircraft into the jets without there being a whole lot of difference in how the panel is laid out, and that'll be an interesting thing to see unfold. Bruce, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes out, and we would like to take the opportunity to talk to you on a more frequent basis as safety issues arise, and especially as the Air Safety Foundation gets involved in specific cases. And we hope to talk to you again soon.
Great, Paul. Thank you very much. Enjoyed the opportunity to visit with you and your listeners.
If you want to find out more about the Aero Club of New England or tonight's event, you can find them on the web at www.acone.org. That's acone.org. Bruce Landsberg is the executive director of the AOPA Air Safety Foundation. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.